Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio in for Joe to camera alongside John Ritchie. James Oates is the Midday Show. 215-592-9494. And right now, you've got a chance to win $1,000. Just text the word POEM to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide texter will win $1,000. Got another chance to win tomorrow at 12 noon and every day at 8 a.m., 12 p.m., 1 p.m., 3 p.m., and 4 p.m. Powered by BetQL. Win more cash in more with the help of BetQL. Download the BetQL app today to learn more. That's BETQL. All right, John, we'll get back to the Sixers here in a second. Everyone's call is on concern right now with this basketball team. 2-2 series, Sixers-Hawks tomorrow night, Game 5. Joel bad last night. Ben continues to just not show up. And, of course, standout performers. But, John, Phillies played last night. Late night game, West Coast. Which, John Ritchie, I love the West Coast games. It's James, you feel the same way? It's like it feels like we're a small community of people that actually stay up to watch.
Yeah,
them.
I love them on weekends, on weekdays. I love them less.
Yeah, I feel like crap today.
I'm so tired. But holistically, I love West Coast games.
Yeah, so I'm watching the game last night, John, and the Phillies lose 3-1. Spencer Howard a little bit better. He said he made some progress, but you know he's not great, and he doesn't go deep in the games. The Phillies pitching actually overall was okay. 3 runs, not many hits for the Dodgers, couple home runs. Phillies only scored one, but John, really what stood out to me, they left 11 guys on base, and part of that was Rhys Hoskins, who left some more on base last night, was 0 for 4. John Ritchie, Rhys Hoskins is 0 for his last 30. We are used to Rhys Hoskins slumps. They happen. He goes hot, he goes cold, goes hot, he goes cold.
Yeah.
But he's 0 for 30. This is the longest 0 for streak a Philly has had since Ryan Howard had an 0 for 35 sometime about 6 or 7 years ago. And that was the end of Ryan Howard.
I mean, all right, well, that's good then. Because you know it's about to end.
Well, no, it was the end of his career with Ryan Howard.
Well, you know Reese's cold streak is about to end.
Well,
it's always, I have faith that Reese will straighten it out because he does. It's always cyclical with him. And the last thing we need to do is panic about what he's doing. Right now, you've got other guys who are starting to snap out of their cold. Like Alec Bohm is now starting to look more like the old Alec Bohm.
Yeah, he's hitting June. Bryce has come around. He had a couple hits last night.
Yeah, so that's positive. Other guys are picking it up. Remember, there was a time when Rhys led Major League Baseball in home runs.
Yeah,
there was a time, and I don't remember exactly when it was.
It was a snapshot.
He had a couple home runs in a game to lift us to a 2-1 win. I don't remember who was against.
It was either the Colorado or St. Louis.
Marlins game, he had the one. It was a 2-run homer.
That's
and they
right.
won 2-1.
Oh, okay. He has had 2 home runs in at least a game this year.
I think it was either Colorado or St. Louis, one of those.
He's going to get it worked out, and that'll be great for us. I don't think the panic is necessary. I've heard people say he's got to sit. If he sits, then how does he work his way out of it? It was just last week. I remember Ben Davis on the pregame talking about how Rhys is doing great things this year, hitting to the whole field.
Well,
Rhys has been good. This season,
it's been okay.
This season, he's been good.
He's had streaks of good.
And now he's got a cold snap.
Well, I want him to sit tonight, so I'm one of those crazy people.
Come on,
no, I want him to sit tonight.
Really? But then how does he work his way out of it?
Well, you know, you get him a day or two, then you put him back in there, and you kind of feel – over the past couple years, part of the problem with the Phillies is depth, right? They don't have a ton of depth where they could sit a Reese or a Bryce when they're struggling, because even them struggling, it's better than the alternative. That's been the reality of the Phillies, and it's that way for a lot of teams. The Phillies have accumulated a little bit more depth lately. Brad Miller's on this team's bench. Alec Bohm is hitting enough that he could play first base for a couple games, and Brad Miller could come in. Or Luke Williams.
Brad Miller at third is not something I enjoyed seeing from a defensive standpoint.
Well, I mean, it's not like you're losing a lot with Reese coming off of first base. It's not like
or
it's,
Bohm coming off third. Right. I mean, come on.
Or Luke Williams, who's here now.
Guys, all of that's well and good, but Brad Miller at third was the worst experiment of all.
I want
that
Reese Hoskins
awful.
Sitting
I mean, I think
tonight.
Bohm's worse than Miller at third. It's close. They're
I agree.
Bad.
I want Reese to sit tonight. I'm not going to
watch. Man.
No, I don't want to watch him. He's dragging the offense. He's 0-30. 0-30.
And it's about to end. I'm positive.
Well, we don't know. Here's the thing about Reese. You never quite know when it's going to end. You wake up one day, hits two home runs. That could happen tonight. It could happen tomorrow. But they have options. Like tonight, they could put Bohm at first against a lefty, play Luke Williams at third. Get him some at-bats against lefties. He hit really well against lefties in AAA, and he got a start against them here last week. I just – like, the Phillies are in a spot where everything matters. Like, they're – you mentioned earlier Sixers, margin for error. Phillies don't have much margin for error. Like, they're
right.
Four back in the division. They're playing the Dodgers and Giants this week, so every at-bat's going to count because these teams are good. I put him on the bench for a night or two, let him clear his head, bring him back in there this weekend at San Francisco.
I don't know, man. You know, just like when Alec Bohm was in the worst of it, he was still hitting the ball. It's just that it was going directly to someone, like directly to someone's glove.
Yep.
Reese is still hitting the ball. It's just been some, you know, some bad breaks with all of that. Now, the only thing that I will say might support your line of thinking is this year, for whatever reason, he's not on base at the same percentage he has been. He's always been so great with the eye
yep.
and with his approach and, you know, extending at bats and whenever, you know, he's shrewd
mm-hmm.
at the plate. This year, that number, his on base percentage is way down.
I think it's a career low for him right now.
Yes, it is. He's at 311 right now, and the worst he'd ever – 354 was the worst he'd ever
so
been in 2018.
You mentioned other slumps. I believe it was 2018. Remember the bad second half he had in 2019, I think it was. 2019, a terrible second half. And late in that second half, James, if I'm remembering right, I think Gabe Kapler batted him leadoff, even though he wasn't hitting because
yes.
he kept walking.
Well, that he had a high floor
yeah.
from that perspective.
Yeah.
It made, even though he's horrible, he was still getting on base.
Yeah.
And right now, he's like if Girardi keeps...
He's swinging early. He's swinging early yep. and often, and it's working against that on-base percentage to some degree.
If Girardi keeps him in the lineup, the hard part now is where do you bat him? Because he's the 0-30 is killing run scoring opportunities. He comes up with guys on base and he's not getting them in, but he's
yeah.
also not walking to where, oh, you put him one or two and at least he's getting on for JT. He's getting on for Bryce. I don't know what you do with him unless you sit him down or do you drop him further in the lineup? He was fifth last night. Like, how far are we going to go down? Seventh? It's difficult right now. He's in one of his, this is the coldest slump he's ever had.
Yeah, that's pretty remarkable because it feels like there have been some big ones.
Well, it feels like we do this every 2 months with him. It's remarkable.
Yeah.
All right, 215-592-9494. James, would you sit him tonight?
I would sit him tonight, yeah. I mean, look, he's pressing. Just give him a night off. I think 100% I would sit him.
All right, James is with me. John wants to let him ride it out, and we have the Sixers here, the concern level off the last night. 215-592-9494. Tim, Upper Chichester. What's up, Tim?
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hi, Tim.
John, it must be so refreshing to have a Joe sitting in that seat that knows how to pronounce the word golf.
Yeah, it is wonderful.
I love hearing the camera say that word that I don't even understand what he's saying, but I know what he's saying.
Yeah.
Golf.
G-O-F-F. Unbelievable.
Golf.
Oh, God.
It's like the quarterback of the Lions now, Jared Goff.
It's got to be intentional.
Exactly. Yeah. So, last night was a disaster. John, you were right yesterday. They were definitely...
They were
definitely
right.
up for a letdown.
Yeah.
You know, and, I mean, that wasn't a letdown. The reality is the Hawks didn't win that game. We lost that game, and we played down to their level.
Sure.
That second half was disastrous.
Yeah.
Am I worried? I don't think we're going to see a game from Joel like that.
No, me neither.
Anytime again, very shortly. Yeah. I mean, it was a fluke game for him. Ben Simmons did his usual BS of basically doing nothing.
Yeah, the disappearing act.
I mean, even he didn't even play defensively last night. You know, I couldn't point at a single positive coming away from last night at all. So, am I worried? Yeah. Not really, but I just have to hope that on the return home, these guys sat and thought real hard about their performance because they didn't give it their all last night. I'm sorry.
Well,
I
think Doc was probably finally hard on them after the game because of the way he came out in the post-game presser. I mean, he was miffed, and I think they needed that. They certainly they felt like the game was in hand in the second quarter, and it was all downhill from there. They got outworked, as Doc said, with colorful language, and I hope he gets after those guys. And they'll be so much better. I don't expect to lose again to the Hawks, and last night is a big reason why, because it was an outlier.
Yes.
No question.
Yes. You know, I was watching the game sitting there, and when the Hawks finally pulled it within two, I said, this thing's over. They're going to win this game. You know, it's almost like we just gave up in the second half. It said, oh, we got this game, and that's it. Packed it in.
Yeah, it's amazing. The wave of momentum was just incredible. Like, it crashed down. Like, it was, wow, the Hawks just took this game over, and it happened pretty fast. Tim, who's your standout performer?
Okay, so Tom from Abington earlier said he mentioned the Habs loss, and he called it something that would happen in history only once. Well, this is something else that's only going to happen in history once. The world changed. Six words. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Ronald Reagan's performance was incredible and changed history.
Ronald Reagan, standout performer. Tim, good one. You know what I like about this topic? They're all over the place.
Yeah,
like,
man.
There's no one theme to this. I mean, when you can have James Seltzer and Ronald Reagan and Will Chamberlain in the same...
What a crew!
I mean, that's a trio I didn't expect to put together today.
Yeah, right. That's outside the box. Hey, so... We spent a lot of time sort of bashing the Hawks' home court advantage before this last game.
They've been pretty good there for a couple months now.
Well, yeah, I think we were wrong. You know, this show was bashing it, saying that it's nowhere close to the advantage that the Sixers have here. Last night, if that game's played in Philadelphia, I don't think it gets to that point.
I agree.
And so it was a huge advantage for the Hawks. There is no way that our fans would let all of that slide. You know, like, we would have held the players more accountable, I think, and it wouldn't have gotten that far out of our, you know, past our grip, so to speak.
Let me put it this way. This series, we keep saying, and I put we because I have said it too, that the Sixers are better than the Hawks. We keep saying this. You know, since Nate McMillan took over as the coach of the Hawks in the beginning of March, the Sixers and Hawks have the exact same record. That includes 2-2 each in this series.
Yeah.
Like, you know what this – I don't think we want to admit it. You know what this feels like? It feels like a 7-game series. Like, it's 2-2 right now. They've each traded wins on each other's home court. The Sixers have these issues where, like, their second-best player disappears. I don't want it to go 7.
Last night sure felt like a 7-game series, but I don't think it feels like a 7-game series. You know, when we talked to Hugh Douglas a couple days ago, you know, he's down there in Atlanta. He's given us the inside scoop on the vibe. And they feel like they've accomplished their mission. You know, they are the team that's supposed to lose this series.
Totally.
They've put up a great fight. You know, their work is all but done.
Yeah, they're going, no matter what, they're going to 6 against the number one seed.
Yeah. The problem is did we give them too big a crack in the door to think that they really can win this? Like, I don't think they believe they can win this. I think they look at it and they say, we're young, we're up and coming, this isn't our year, it's supposed to be the Sixers' year, and we're just going to put up a fight and be as big a roadblock, you know, a bump in the road as we can be.
Well, the fire that the Sixers are playing with now, like, we haven't had the game yet. Like, Joel was bad last night. That was surprising. We haven't had the game yet in this series. I hope it doesn't happen again. But remember the last series against Washington? He had to leave. His knee was bothering him. He had to leave. Like, I hope that doesn't happen again, but when you've lost two games in a series, there's no more margin for error. Like, if he has to, if his knee flares up and he just it's stiff in game six, they're gonna lose.
Man,
so like,
I'm having flashbacks of previous years,
the Raptor series.
Sure,
like, it was kind of back and forth.
Can you count on Joel, or can't you? Is he gonna be healthy enough to play, or isn't he?
Catching up to him. Is he gassed?
Yeah,
that was that whole thing.
Right. Well, the minutes definitely caught up to him last night.
Yeah, he just looked tired.
Above all else.
Chuck is up on the Midday Show. What's up, Chuck?
Always good to talk to you guys. Listen, I just want to throw my hat in the ring here with this Hoskins thing. And, John, you know I love you, but he's got to go, and especially when you got a situation. He'll make that position stronger if you take the guy from third, put him at first. But, listen, Hoskins is a liability on the base pairs with the glove, with the bat. And he's not a good base runner either. I know, Joe, you probably don't remember this, but I went rounds around with you a long time ago about this. I think at the time you were an advocate of his, and I think you've changed your mind since then. That's just my opinion. Doesn't make me right and you guys wrong. Listen, great performances. I was fortunate enough to see the Beatles three times. I saw them in 64 at Kennedy Stadium in 66. I'm sorry, at Convention Hall and in 66 at Kennedy Stadium.
Wow.
1965, I'm all of 15, so my buddies and I, we take the train from Trenton up to Shea Stadium. And let me tell you a couple things about that. It was so freaking hot. It was, I think it was August 8th. My God, was it hot. That's how still the air was. But compound that, and by the way, they had them out at second base playing. Now, picture a baseball park. The whole freaking thing was filled. But at the end of it, we go to get back on a train. Try this out for size, fellas. There's a frickin' suicide. Somebody jumped in front of the train. We can't even get into the frickin' train to get the hell back home. Here we are, four kids up in New York City in the middle of, not the middle of the night, it was like 10 o'clock. But don't know where, so the police are telling us to go four blocks down. Let's go here, get a, that's my, it was a great performance, but it was harrowing.
It's a memory that is unfortunately ingrained in you for a long time. But you did get to see the Beatles. I guess there's the silver lining.
Listen, you know, when you talk about anticipation, one thing I want to mention to you, the third time I saw him at Kennedy Stadium in Philadelphia, you know, when you get into the Ronettes and some of the great groups at that time, popular groups, they were the lead group ahead of the Beatles. And then we had one of these heat lightning things to do. It just started the lightning and stuff. They booed these great groups off the stage to get the Beatles on there. This is a group probably we're never going to see the likes of it again. I know Elvis was popular. I know that. But these guys changed the whole culture. And I was just blessed to see it.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. You got to see it so many times. Chuck, we appreciate it. Chuck with the Beatles a few times, but at Shea Stadium. Yeah, I agree with him. There'll never be a group like the Beatles again that changed things and have that much popularity, right? We're too splintered with our popularity.
Yeah, we don't have monoculture in the same way anymore. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, that was for a lot of things like that. It was for a different time. Vernon is in North Philly. Hey, Vernon.
Hey, how y'all guys doing?
Good,
doing well, Vernon.
All right, listen. Before I get to my blaming Doc, because this is Doc. This was all on Doc last night. Okay, but on Daryl Morey. If I'm Daryl Morey, and hearing the reports that's going on after this season, I'm trying my best to call Dallas and see if they want to trade straight up. Give me give me my man for Ben and ship Ben on out of there and bring 77 over one here. I'll trade him in a minute.
Who are we trading Ben for?
77, Luka.
Oh, Luka. Yeah, the Mavericks aren't doing that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm just saying. But anyway, this was all on Doc last night. And here's my problem. Here's my thing when I say, yes, I am concerned. Given Doc's history on playoff situations in the last couple of years, what has happened? Doc has folded under pressure and lost in crucial series. The Clippers and with Boston. That's why I say I am worried about this, because this was a devastating loss. Because, like you said, it adds more minutes on Embiid. Mm-hmm. Ben is nowhere to be found. And there's all cover things. Here's my two reasons, too, that made no sense last night. 30 seconds left in the game. I don't understand, why did Doc substitute Curry out when we was shooting fouls? He substituted Curry out and put Korkmaz in on the defensive side. That made no sense whatsoever. The second situation was during that last possession, this is why Korkmaz shouldn't have been in the game during that last possession, because he didn't have no clue on where he's going. Curry would have made that shot if it wasn't for Korkmaz not understanding where his role is at. Because when Curry had to do that double take, the reason why he had to do that double take was because Korkmaz ran his man on that same pick and roll play when Curry was shooting the ball. It was Herter who made him alternate his shot. And why that was? Because both of them was in this at the same place at the same time. When Korkmaz should have never been there. If he's not there, Curry makes that shot because he was open, but you know the Herter made him adjust because Korkmaz's man was running in there.
Right. Yeah. It was a disjointed Vernon. It was a disjointed play. I mean, and the fact that Shake had it, they left Shake alone, and he kind of was just waiting to make that pass. Vernon, who's a standout performer?
I'm gonna go with Reggie Miller in the playoff game against the Knicks.
When he put the choking symbol up at the Knicks.
Well, not only that, he went on a fire tear.
Well, he had that steal with the inbounds pass. He got to push the Knick guy out of the way. Vernon, it's a good one. Yes, Reggie Miller against the Knicks. Reggie Miller was one of those players. You just never wanted the ball near him late in the game. He felt like he was gonna beat you. He was a great shooter.
He did often. Now I didn't realize that Herter's role last night was dictated by what Korkmaz did. I didn't see that part in particular. I know that Herter was right there, and that is what caused the double clutch type shot. I thought that those plays were, you know, the play to Joel.
That play worked.
It was a great play.
Yeah, I mean, Joel didn't
finish. Worked like a charm. It should have been a bucket. And then the play to Curry, it still had a chance. It was a reasonable shot. Would have been better without Herter, his involvement.
Sure.
But I don't know that I can blame Korkmaz for that. I got to go back and check it out.
Yeah, I think our caller just didn't want Korkmaz on the court, and he was upset at Korkmaz.
Korkmaz certainly can be a liability.
Yeah, he's hit or miss.
Yeah.
Yeah, less the better, I think. 215-592-9494. That is a hop-in. Concern with the Sixers, are you? I am. John Ritchie is not. I want Rhys Hoskins to sit tonight. He is struggling 0 for his last 30. John wants to play. And when we get back, the edict has come down. Major League Baseball has finally put the edict down on when they're going to start checking for these sticky substances on the pitcher. Except there's one caveat to this that I think baseball just completely missed the boat. We'll hit that coming up. 215-592-9494. That's how you get aboard. Joe Giglio in for Joe DeCamera alongside John Ritchie on the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.